A Brave New World, Creeping Authoritarianism, by Ethelbert. Consider, if you will, just how much our society has changed in your lifetime. I am fully aware that at the age of 37 I'm one of the younger denizens of going postal, yet I can recognize massive changes in today's society versus the one I remember as a child. At my relatively young age I have already seen significant changes wrought in society that appear to be the signs of a very sinister agenda at work, an agenda which seeks to implement state-controlled authoritarianism on every aspect of our lives. Orwell warned us about this in his book 1984. Unfortunately for the people who run our society these days, 1984 isn't a warning, it's an instruction manual. The creeping growth of the state into every aspect of our lives is both insidious and highly alarming for those who are paying attention. Unfortunately, most people aren't paying attention. Like the frog sitting in a pan of slowly warming water, they won't realize the danger they're in until it's too late. How many of you are aware that on 10 September the Labour MP Lucy Powell introduced a bill to Parliament which would effectively end private or closed fora on the internet? The owners of these fora would be forced to open them to government regulation and be held accountable for the content posted. Just like every other act of the creeping, slithering and crawling encroachment of authoritarianism, this is presented as being done for our safety. It is to prevent private groups organizing online and spreading hate speech. This draft legislation was supported by such establishment luminaries as Anna Soubry, Nicky Morgan, David Lammy, Jess Phillips, and Jacob Rees-Mogg. Now I'm sure we can all guess exactly which type of groups and fora will be targeted by this legislation. In my other articles I have decried the society which we have created, where the notion of personal responsibility has been totally rejected and the answer to every problem is more government, more laws, more regulation, more control. Is it any surprise we have arrived at such a society? The vast majority of us were born in state-run hospitals, we went to state-run schools, we go to the state healthcare system when we are ill, and if we become unemployed or otherwise unable to support ourselves we go to the state welfare system. As a nation we have become so utterly inured to the state we are effectively blind to how much control and influence it has over us. Do you think it's a coincidence that the massive expansion and growth of the welfare state at the same time as the promotion of feminism and the breakdown of marriage and the family along with the emasculation of men is a coincidence? Of course it isn't. Just go into your nearest town on any weekday afternoon and count the single mothers with multiple children clothed in garments paid for by the welfare system, strapped into pushchairs paid for by the welfare system, buying groceries paid for by the welfare system before going to their home paid for by the welfare system. These mothers haven't married the father of their children, they have married the state. Which is exactly as it was intended they do. Think about it for a second. It is to all intents and purposes impossible to live free of state interference and control. There is simply no way to live your day-to-day life without interacting in one way or another with the state. This is not how it should be. The function of the state should be to provide for the security of its people and to enforce the law within its borders. This is precisely what the state we find ourselves currently living in fails to do. Instead, the state today exists purely to perpetuate and consolidate its own power and control over our lives. The state will take its lump out of your wages before you even get them and places a massive tax burden on you, so they end up getting a huge lump of the wages you do receive. You send your child off to the state-run school every day where they won't be educated, they won't be prepared for the job market but will instead be subjected to state political and ideological indoctrination. If your house was burgled tonight, your car stolen, if you were assaulted in the street, how many of you have confidence in the police to catch the culprit and bring charges against them? How many of you are confident it would be a matter of minutes before a policeman arrived should you stand in your local town center with a placard or banner decrying the systematic rape of native white children by gangs of Pakistani and Bangladeshi Muslim men? The purpose of the police is to deter criminals and bring them to justice when they do commit a crime. However, it appears in modern Britain they are far more interested in acting as common-purpose social workers and enforce the accepted political opinion and ideology of the state. As native Britons who have worked and paid taxes to the state all your working lives, how many of you are confident that should you lose your job tomorrow or otherwise be left unable to work, the state would step in and cover your mortgage, rent or utility bills until such time as you could support yourself again? How many of you are confident the state healthcare system would provide you with consistent good quality care should you become ill? How many of you are confident the state would quickly step in to provide welfare and healthcare for a migrant who has never contributed to the system which you have been paying into all your working life? Again, the welfare state was ostensibly created as a safety net for citizens, yet has been turned into a political tool for the subversion of society and to consolidate the power of the state. The social contract is broken. The state doesn't care about you and it certainly doesn't act in your interest. It only cares for and acts to further consolidate its own authority and control over you. The pattern is very well established. The state will legislate and regulate for your safety. It's for your own good. Some people euphemistically refer to it as the nanny state, but it's a lot more sinister than that. The government tells you it took away handguns and prohibits you from owning rifles and automatic weapons for your safety. No, they did it because the state only want the agents of the state to have access to such weapons. The government will lock you up for defending yourself, your property or your family from violent criminals because, they say, we can't allow people to take the law into their own hands. No, it's because they want the state and the agents of the state to have the monopoly on the use of force and the use of violence. The state wants you to be unable to defend yourself from it and its agents. The government implemented hate crime laws to make sure you don't hurt someone's feelings. No, it was because they want to suppress certain political or ideological opinion. The government will force your children to be educated at a state school because your child must receive a good education from professional teachers. Again, no. It's because they want to corral your children into state-run classrooms where they can be indoctrinated and turned into obedient little statists. The government will criminalize you and send you to prison if you don't have a television license because we have to ensure the BBC has the money to carry on producing such high-quality content. Those of you paying attention will know this is complete bollocks. They threaten you with criminalization for not handing over your money to the BBC because the BBC is the state's mouthpiece, its biggest propagandist, and the state thinks you should be forced to pay for the privilege of having BBC propaganda beamed into your home 24/7. Not just our government either. The EU Parliament just voted by a large margin to pass Article 11 and Article 13. This was on no manifesto of any politician or party we were given the opportunity to vote for or against. There is no way we as ordinary citizens can block it. When they do bother to cast a derisory glance at us mere plebs, they tell us it is necessary to provide proper protection of intellectual property on the internet. The truth is it's actually meant to undermine the internet-based alt media and force everyone back to establishment media outlets. It's an attempt to stop anti-establishment parties like UKIP, Five Star South Dakota and AFT from getting their message out on social media, and it's intended to force the wrong kind of political opinion off the internet. So what's next? Where do we go from here? I've already mentioned Article 11 and 13, which will fundamentally change the nature of the internet and are without a shadow of a doubt intended to bring the internet to the establishment's heel. I've already mentioned the draft legislation brought before Parliament by Labour MP Lucy Powell, which is meant to disrupt and shut down anti-establishment groups on the internet. Alex Jones and InfoWars will not be the last anti-establishment voice to be disappeared from the internet. I absolutely believe before long we'll see legislation against the use of VPNs and proxies, we'll see extensions of the legislation requiring ISPs to monitor our internet activity and make it accessible to the government. We will see mandatory state registration of electronic devices which can access the internet, just as every vehicle on our roads must be registered to an owner. These measures will be introduced under the cover of preventing paedophile and terrorist activity online. The objective being to have far greater state control over what people can see and what people can post on the internet. The thin end of the wedge, the first step being the government-controlled system to require people to opt into viewing pornographic websites. We already have organizations like Tell Mama, and the recent news that South Yorkshire Police have urged the public to report non-criminal hate activities. It's only a matter of time before the state will be asking children to snitch on their parents, to tell their school teachers if mum and dad are having dangerous political opinions. Google have been testing driverless cars. At least some of the technology will be legislated to be mandatory for new cars. I expect GPS trackers at the very minimum to be required. It will be sold as a measure to improve your own safety or security, but will be a way in which the authorities can track your car at all times, and perhaps even disable it if required, think widespread civil unrest. The really big one, however, which is undoubtedly coming and one of the biggest objectives of the state, is the implementation of a cashless society. They want to be able to track each and every transaction you make so they can monitor what you are buying and where. They can swoop in and tax any and every transaction they wish, and they want the ability to freeze your money should you become a problem to the state. So what's the objective of all of this? What's the end game? The Western world is the most influential culture on the globe. Its core values of individual liberty and freedom, democracy and human rights are highly problematic for the globalists. They need to undermine Western society and subvert those values in order to make governments undemocratic, unaccountable technocracies, effectively a 21st century flavor of feudalism. It's about power. Power over the likes of you and I. It's about centralizing and consolidating that power to keep the elites at the top and stop the plebs getting any wrong ideas. They have the power, they have the control. And you, my friend, will do exactly what you're fucking told. Unfortunately, history has shown time and again there are plenty of people either cynical or naive enough to help them do just that. As the years roll by, we're seeing more and more state intrusion and interference in ever more aspects of our lives, and we are seeing more use of intimidation through threats of criminalization, imprisonment and threats of force and violence from the state to compel us to comply with the agenda and orders of the state. This, I believe, is one of, if not perhaps the greatest weakness of our political system. The kind of people who shouldn't be allowed anywhere near the levers of power almost inevitably rise to the positions where they gain just that and abuse it for their own ends. The very kind of person who should be in authority and should have power, the ones who do not seek it and do not want it, never get anywhere near the levers of power. Copyright Ethelbot 2018.